Hey, what a blessing to be here. Oh, thank you, whoever whistled. I'll give you the money later. Hey, before we begin, I do want to, I want to thank Robert and the staff, you know, for what they do. The volunteers do a lot, but Robert and his staff for, you know, those guys do a lot to get this conference ready. They do a lot of preparation. And just the fact that they're giving up their fellowship for us to come and gather, what a blessing. And you know, over the years, this Tucson conference has been my favorite conference. I love coming here. And I love this fellowship, so I'm a little bit biased. This is my second home, for those of you who don't know. You know, I come up here whenever I get an opportunity because I love this place and it's close to us. But, you know, for them to do this for us is a tremendous blessing, and they always do such a great job. And then the volunteers rock it, right? The volunteers are so good. So, again, I told Nick that I was going to thank the volunteers. He came in. I was in the back room and Nick came in and said, "Hey, we're going to march them all down and do this." I go, "Dude, I was going to thank them." And I go, "You're like still on my thunder, and like Tony stole my passage, and you know, you kind of did the front part, but you did good, thank you. You did good, you stayed away from it because you ran out of time, but otherwise you would have been there, I know." But anyway, hey, they're just great, and thank those guys. And then it's an honor, you know, it's a privilege to be able to come and share with those who want to feed the sheep and take care of the family of God. And it's such a blessing to be able to just encourage you. And hopefully that's what we'll accomplish here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your grace in our lives. And Lord, we ask that, God, you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, we want to hear you today. We don't want to hear theories and et cetera. We want to hear you. So God, I pray that, Lord, you would anoint me, that you would anoint our ears, prepare our hearts, Lord, and speak to us. And Lord, make it clear for us what we're to do when we leave here. As Sean prayed earlier, God, as we go back down into the valley, God, we want to minister to your people, and we want to encourage your people, and we want to build the church. So bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you're not already there, we're going to do Acts chapter 20. We're going to pick it up in verse 29. And, you know, I bravely took that as I looked at the list and I saw that Tony was stopping at verse 28. And I thought, well, I'm going to do 29 and following. And then I thought, maybe that's a mistake. What if he goes over, not over time, but over into my area? So yesterday I grabbed him and I said, "Dude, do not go to verse 29. And I said, "If you go to verse 29, I'll call you out and I will come after you." And he told me, "I'm a Marine." And I told him, "I'm Serbian, so it doesn't matter." So listen, he blessed me and stayed away from it. But listen, as we look at this, I think it's vitally important that we understand, as Tony said, this was a conference, so to speak. Paul called the leaders down there. And don't you love that idea that, listen, gathering the leaders of the church together is not a new thing. It's not, you know, a thing that we just developed. Paul was doing it way back then. And how old is the church? Maybe 20 years old, maybe? And he's calling these leaders and he's saying, "Let's get together and figure out what we're doing right. And let's get together and figure out what we're doing wrong. And let's get it settled and go on." So, you know, as I think about all of the things that were shared, you know, from Don opening up and exhorting us, and you know, and after Don, who came after Don? My head's kind of scrambled. After Don, Gino, right? You got to love Gino. And then that night, David Guzik. I don't think I can call him the Goose, but David Guzik, you know, David just pours out, and then. You know, Eric Souza, I love that guy. I call him a kid. You know, Robert said he called him Little Eric. I knew Eric when he was Little Eric. He was part of our fellowship from the time he was born till he came up to Tucson. I think he was 9, something like that. So I know Little Eric. And so generally I call him that, Little Eric. I don't call him Little Eric. And then just watching him grow. And anyway, that's kind of irrelevant. And then, you know, just everybody, David giving us the word and encouraging us and exhorting us that night. Ed challenging us. And Brett, I love Brett saying, hey, you guys want to do the impossible? Or how many of you are facing the impossible? All of us are facing the impossible, right? As we go on. And you know, just the guys pouring into us and sharing. And Daniel last night telling us about people riding bikes naked. That's what I came away with. I'm thinking, where do you live? And then my wife reminded me, we saw a Cops show. Danny, you guys ever watch Cops? Like when you're just vegging before the TV? You ever just turn that on and veg for a while? I watched the Cops show where they busted that guy. He was in Portland riding naked. And I remember the cops said, could you just put on some shorts? Would you just do that? And I'm thinking, Daniel's ushers ask people to put shorts on before they come in. As they come in, that's probably one of the things they educate them on. And being encouraged, and then, you know, Tony now leading us up to this point and just challenging us in so many ways. And then Paul, listen, now we're hitting a point that some of us we don't like to mess with, Tony would say, you know, it gets really serious sort of at this point. And listen what he says. Let's read verse 29. He says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Notice Paul says, I know, not they might come, not maybe they will show up. Paul says, for here's something I know, savage wolves are going to come in. That's intense when you think about it. Now, you know, Eric warned us about the civil war within the church and not to be fighting each other. And I get that. But there's also a part of us, we need to know, especially as pastors and leaders, we need to protect the flock of God. A shepherd in that generation, and just before that, and as the part Tony was teaching, the shepherd, listen, a shepherd just didn't feed the sheep, he also protected the sheep. And the shepherds would carry a big old club. And listen, if a wolf came in, they clubbed him, man. They didn't say, oh, would you please leave? They'd just smack them, man, and take care of business and get them out of there. And here's the thing, these aren't just wolves. Notice they're not just wolves. They're savage wolves. They're people who want to destroy people's relationship with the Lord. And I believe a lot of them, listen, I don't believe a lot of them are intentionally doing that, but a lot of them are doing that, and you and I need to be discerners. You and I are called to protect the flock of God. You need to get a club, and you need to protect the flock of God. And you know, there are times where we just have to call people out. Now, Tony's saying they do that in Virginia. We do that in Sierra Vista. We're also a military town. Maybe it's a military thing, right? You know, military people, man, you're going to bam, and you're going to get them. And sometimes you just have to call them out, and you have to tell them. The other day, a guy came up to me after my message and began to explain to me what the points I missed. And, you know, he's like, let me know some things I missed. And they were so off. I mean, they were like, woo, you know. And I'm thinking, seriously? And I'm trying to be nice. I know Robert finds that hard to believe, but I'm trying to be nice. And I'm like smiling at him, and I say, you know what, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. And kind of shake his hand and move him along, you know, and then greet some other people because there were people in line. He came back. He goes, I wasn't done. And here's what I did. I go, yes, you were. I go, because I'm done. And he goes, why would you say that? And I said, because you're crazy. That's why. I said, listen, what you're talking about, and here's what I told him, what you're talking about is not in the text that we taught this morning. What you're talking about is in your mind, and now you've become the authority over me, not the word of God, and I'm not going to listen to you. And he walked away. I didn't see him the next weekend, so I'm thinking, you know, maybe he left. But listen, we're called to do that. We have to protect against savage wolves. Listen to what Peter calls them. This blows my mind. You know, we always act like the guys in the Bible were really nice and gentle and kind. This is Peter the fisherman, by the way, who I learned from Brett doesn't know how to fish. I never saw that before. Thank you for letting me know that he was a bad fisherman, Brett. And when you get to heaven, you can discuss it with him. I'm not going to. But Peter in chapter 2, listen what Peter calls these savage wolves. You can just read all of chapter 2 for homework. Well, it's all through verses 10 through 22, but listen what he calls them. And pay attention. Those who indulge in the flesh and in its corrupt desires, and they despise authority. They're unreasoning animals, stains and blemishes, springs without water, slaves of corruption, and my favorite, dogs that return to their vomit. That's what he calls these wolves. Listen, are you thinking Peter wanted to protect the church? I think so. I think Peter was willing to say that, willing to call them out, willing to take that and let them know, hey, we're not going to put up with this. And you and I, listen, if you're a pastor, leader here today, that's part of your calling. Yes, we need to love. Yes, we need to nurture. Yes, we need to feed and take care of. But there are times where you got to take a stand. I think especially in our generation. And there's nothing wrong with taking a stand. And listen, he says, man, these savage wolves are going to come. They're not going to spare the flock. They're going to be there. Jesus himself told us what? Watch out for false prophets. And Jesus said they come like wolves in sheep's clothing. They dress up like the regular people, so we need to guard against that. John called them antichrists in 1 John. So listen, he says they go out and they're not there. Now listen, that's bad enough, but check out the next verse in verse 30. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Did you hear what he just said? These aren't people coming from the outside. Paul is looking. Listen, he's collected this group of men from Ephesus and told them to come down. And do you hear what he just said? From you, from this group I'm looking at, from this group, that out of that group, there are going to be those who rise up themselves and begin to draw people away and draw people to themselves. That's pretty intense, isn't it? That's sort of scary. I don't know about you guys, but that scares me. That makes me check my heart. That makes me check what I'm doing and careful about what I'm doing and the way I do it. Am I trying to draw people to me, or am I trying to draw people to Jesus Christ? Do I want people to follow me? And that's something we do on social media, right? How many of you check your social media to see how many followers you have? Always makes you feel good, doesn't it? Wow, I got another one. Yes! And then you do something and you check how many likes you get. How many of you check your social media before you pray in the morning, before you spend time with the Lord? You see, and Paul's warning, listen, Paul's saying this could happen and this is going to happen among you. Listen to this quote from Spurgeon. I got this quote from Spurgeon a few months ago. I taped it on my pulpit. Listen to what Spurgeon said. He says, far better for a man that he had never been born than that he should degrade a pulpit into a showbox to exhibit himself. Wow. I read that and I went, man, I mean, I thought, oh no. And then I told our secretary, get that, print that, laminate it, and tape it up so I can look at it every time I get up to share the word. Because listen, man, there's such a danger that we can do that. And Paul's telling you and I, we need to take a stand. And we need to take a stand against that. You need to get your club. And listen, now, I hope you hear my heart. I don't want you to beat everybody who comes in. You might be a false. You don't hit them and then ask them. You watch, but are you willing? Are you willing to take that stand? Are we willing as believers to protect the flock of God? Jesus gave his life for us, right? As pastors, listen, as shepherds in that generation, their flock was everything to them. And there's nothing they're not going to do to protect that flock. Even to the point sometimes they would lay down so that anything coming in had to go over them. And as pastors, sometimes we gotta lay down. We gotta be there, and we gotta protect the flock. And we need to make people go through us to get to them and protect them. And we gotta be careful. But the worst thing we can do is nothing. Listen to this quote. I was thinking about this quote. I have this quote, and I'm not going to tell you who it's by, but I was thinking last night when Daniel was challenging us about quoting people, you know, part of the pop culture and stuff, and that we need to let people know we're reading and hearing and listening to other people. But listen to this quote. If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph. When decent people and nations become bystanders to history, the forces of destruction only gather power and strength. Now listen, that's spoken to the world. That's somebody in the world. And he spoke it to a gathering of world leaders. But isn't it so much more important to us as a church? One of my biggest fears for the church today and for church leaders is that we do nothing. Is that we allow these things to go on and never challenge them, never question them. And a lot of times we do it for the sake of unity. Now listen, I'm all about unity, I think. I think we're, you know, in our community, I know we're part of, a broader thing than just Calvary Chapel. As a matter of fact, we send people to every church in town. You know, they leave our churches and go to the other churches. And, you know, we just bless them. And we talk about that all the time. You know, we got people in every single church in Sierra Vista, multiple people, and hundreds of people actually. But anyway, listen. But I get that. But we never forsake the truth for unity. What's our conference stand? We got to stand for something. What is that? What is the saying? If you don't stand for something, you'll stand for anything, or you'll fall for anything. We got to take a stand, and we have to be people that are willing to do that, and even willing sometimes maybe to be talked about. Sometimes willing, as Tony shared, sometimes willing, we're going to get people attacking us and coming after us. And sometimes we're even called narrow-minded. Even by our own, we're called narrow-minded. And listen, I know this isn't like a real pleasant, quote, message, but we need to hear it, saints. We need to be people who are willing to stand up for truth and to take a stand for truth. And when people violate that truth, then we need to go hard. Once you take a stand for truth, do you know what you do? You draw a line. And everything on one side of the line is true, everything on the other side of the line is not. Have you ever noticed that? You take a stand for truth. People don't like it when you take a stand for truth and you draw that line and they're going, well, yeah, but can't we just like move it over here a little bit? Truth doesn't shift with every culture, with every generation. Truth is truth eternally. And so God is telling, or Paul is telling this group, they need to stand for that truth. They need to be strong and they need to be firm and they need to be people who are taking these people further. He says, verse 31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Here's what he's saying. Now, listen, now you need to be watchmen. You know, the job of a, quote, pastor, shepherd, is multifaceted. We're watching sometimes, we're feeding sometimes, we're clubbing sometimes, we're laying down sometimes in front of the gate. And we got to be doing these things because why? Because we care about the people. And we're willing, listen, we're willing to take it. In our church, I'm willing to take the heat so that others can grow and be strong. I'm willing to have people come and attack me for that. Now, here's what blows my mind. Paul, in this conference, not this conference, but the conference he's having there at Miletus, he gives this warning to the church at Ephesus. After you leave the conference, when you have some downtime, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read Colossians, Ephesians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Revelation chapter 2. That's not much homework, a little bit. If you're part of Sierra Vista, you know I always got to give homework. So listen, I want you to read those, and here's what you're going to find out. They didn't listen to Paul. They chose instead to ignore much of what he said, what I'm teaching, what Tony taught. They chose to ignore a lot of that and read of the consequences. Read what he writes in Colossians. Read what he writes in Ephesians. Read what he writes to Timothy, who is pastoring that church after Paul pastored it. And then read what Jesus saw when he looked at that church in Revelation chapter 2. And it sort of blows your mind, because here's what I'm thinking. Conferences are supposed to make us strong, and conferences are supposed to build us up and take us to the place where we're able to do ministry. And I'm looking at these guys, and they went away from the conference, and they go, man, was the food good or what? Those food trucks, well, food camels, I guess, whatever, they rocked, man. And they, listen, they go away from that, but they forgot, listen, they forgot what Paul told them. And they began to ignore it, and things began to crumble. Even Paul and Timothy warns about certain individuals. He calls them out by name, and he says, what are they doing there? I told you guys are going to come from among you. I told you guys to watch. I told you guys to guard your own lives. I love what Tony is. He challenges. Do you watch your life? Pastor, you reading your Bible? Sure, I read my Bible. I teach it. No, I'm not asking if you read your Bible to teach it. I'm asking if you read your Bible. Hey, as pastors, we're all reading our Bibles because we're teaching it, hopefully. Well, some pastors don't, but most of us. Are you having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, Pastor? I love the challenge we got. When was the last time you just walked with him? When was the last time you just sat with him? Just sat there, you and the Lord. A lot of us, we have ADD and different things going on. I think most people with ADD, God calls them to pastor. You can't sit still. Do you sit down and just listen to him? Ask him to speak to your heart, not for your message, but for your heart. Paul says you got to listen. You don't just have to watch for the flock. You got to watch for yourself. You got to guard yourself. You got to be careful. And man, listen, I love this, man. He says, listen, you got to watch. And then listen what Paul says. For 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. 3 years, night and day. You know what that's telling me? He did it night and day. It's interesting. He didn't say day and night, right? Isn't that kind of interesting? He said night and day. Because I think, listen, they got off work at a certain time, and he started warning them. And then, listen, they all had to go to work at a certain time. And then, if you're familiar with what happened in Ephesus, he rented that hall, remember? He rented the hall, and then when everybody took siesta, he says, hey, instead of taking a break, come over to the hall, I'm going to preach to you. And during the break part of the day, Paul's teaching them night and day, and for 3 years, do you know that Ephesus is the place where he stayed at the longest and poured into the people the most and was there the most direct? And yet, they still stumbled and they still messed up. How much more do we need to be careful? How much more do we need to be guarding ourselves? How much more do we need to watch ourselves? Now, here's what I think, too, as I look at Paul, is I'm thinking, man, listen, he says, I did this for night and day, and, you know, quote, I went kind of on, and I was there with you, and he says, I did it with tears. So then, look at verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God. Here's what I love. He says, listen, I've given you everything I can give you, and I think this is one of the hardest things for pastors. Now I'm giving you to God. See, as a pastor, we want to help people. We want to see people grow. My desire for everybody in our fellowship is to grow. I tell them, man, if I could come, and I want them to be reading the Bible, and I tell them, man, if I could come to everybody's house every day, I would read your Bible to you. And I just want, we in our church push heavily reading through the Bible in a year. We give people schedules. I tweet it out every day. I try and get it out there. Yes, I use social media, and I'm one of the old guys. But listen, man, we try and get it out there, and we push and push, and you know, I said, man, if I could, I'd come to your house and read your Bible. Three people came up to me after service. Can you be there at 8? No, I'm not going to come and read your Bible to you. But listen, man, we do that, and we so want people to grow, and then here's what we know. We got to give them up to God. And here's the thing. We have to trust them to God. That's hard for a pastor. to say, okay, God, listen, we're supposed to be doing that. Some of you are going, really? You're going to have a hard time? Yeah. I know we're spiritual giants. That was sarcasm. Some of you like, yeah, thank you, bro. That's who we are. But you got to give them up. You got to say, here, God, these are yours. I've done everything I can do. You know, as a parent, there comes a time where you got to give your kids up, right? I've gone through that phase a while back, and you just got to let them go, and it's like freaking you out, especially we had one daughter, and we only had one child, but a daughter, man, daddies don't want to give up their daughters. Let me tell you, man, guys would come to date my daughter, and I'd just growl at them. Hi, this is my dad. I know some dads just put a gun out, you know, and let them know. But listen, and then, but you got to give them up. You got to give your kids up. Well, you know what, Pastor? You got to give the church up. They're God's. They belong to Him. Do you know that God loves the church more than you'll ever love the church? Do you know that? I remember one time when I was at Bible college, my family was driving up, and it was wintertime. I went to the Bible college up in Twin Peaks. And it was wintertime, and my family was driving up, and we had our Friday class. And the last class, we would always take prayer requests. And I raised my hand. I said, hey, man, can you guys pray for my family? They're driving up. And it was kind of snowy and weather coming in. And they said, sure, and they prayed. And, you know, and I thought, okay, great. And I went to get ready to go to work. They called it servanthood. We called it slavehood. But it depends on perspective. But getting ready to go do my servanthood, and as I was getting ready to go, here's what the Lord said to me. I'll never forget this day. He goes, what if they don't make it? And I said, what? Now, it wasn't audible. I don't want you to think like I had this audible conversation. But he impressed on my heart, what if they don't make it, Pat? And I said, excuse me? He goes, seriously, what if they don't make it? You still going to love me? Still going to trust me? And then he told me, don't you think I love your family more than you love your family? And at that moment, listen, I got to be honest. At that moment, I was honest with the Lord. And I go, right now, I'm not really sure because you're freaking me out. And I'm not really sure what's going to happen. And I'm not sure if you're preparing me for something. And you're like, I said, Lord, you're scaring the liver out of me. Like, what is going on? And he said, are you going to trust me with your family or not? Right now, this is it. Oh, I was never so happy to see my family pull in that driveway. Oh, man, I went and hugged them, and they had no idea what I had gone through. But listen, can you give up like that? See, that's what the Lord wants us to understand, is that He cares about those people. He wants to grow those people up. And He says, listen, man, you've got to take these people, and you've got to commend them to God, just like Paul does here, and listen carefully to the word of His grace. We're back. Oh, I love Tony's exhortation. We're teaching the word. That's what we're about. That's our DNA. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and I go, our DNA is teaching through the word of God. I remember as a young Christian, I got saved outside of the Calvary Chapel movement. I got saved in Bisbee, of all places. So you guys from Tucson and Sierra Vista. Bisbee, if you're not from around here, Bisbee is like the New Age epicenter of the world. Not just of the United States, of the world. Weird, weird, strange place. Well, listen, I grew up there, and I grew up there when it was a mining town, and it shifted from mining town to freak town. And listen, so it went from that, and I kind of shifted with it, and I was making pottery. And the Lord saved my wife, then He saved me. And listen, when I got saved, there was no Christian radio. Christian radio? And in Bisbee, you didn't get much TV because it's in a canyon, so you get a lot of that. So listen, so all you had, you could get things. And then I went through a period where I got real legalistic. I was listening to certain teachers that were real legalistic, and some of you go, dude, you haven't changed. Trust me, I've changed. I was super legalistic, and I remember at one point, like, I wasn't even really sure if I was going to let my wife and daughter go to heaven with me, you know, if they just weren't holy enough, you know. Any of you get to that place and say, honey, better get holier, you know, better watch what you're doing. And she's just going, pfft. There was a time where I didn't let my family put up Christmas trees. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's stupid. So anyway, I got saved, and you know what? I found these tapes by this guy called Chuck Smith. And I put these tapes on, and at that time, and some of you from Albuquerque know this, there was that ministry called Hosanna Tape Ministry, Tape Lending Library. They had a branch here in Tucson, and you could get 4 tapes for $1. Tapes are cassettes, plastic things with tape in them. Look it up. Google it, you young people. And so, listen, no internet, shock, shock. No Christian radio, no Christian TV. I could get 4 tapes for $1. So I'd put $1 in an envelope. They would send it. They'd send me 4 tapes. I'd put the tapes back in there. It's put $1. And listen, I went through the whole Bible listening to Chuck. And I caught the vision. Because where I was going to church, they weren't teaching a word. The word was foreign to them. And I'd go to church and I'd leave church and I'd go, well, that was sweet. But I need something more substantial. And I sat in my pottery shop making pots, listening to Chuck. And I went all the way through the Bible with him. And you know, it's funny, when you go to Calvary Chapel Bible College, one of the requirements is you go through Chuck tapes. And all of the students there, I have to listen to Chuck. I said, would you quit whining? Here's what I told him. I paid to listen to Chuck. I paid $4 a tape. Do the math. Or I mean $1 for 4 tapes. I paid a lot of money to listen to Chuck. I have to listen to Chuck. Oh, shut up. Sorry, Robert knows that part of me. But why, listen, why does Paul, listen what he says. He says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. Listen carefully. Listen to this next part. Lock it in your heart, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What is going to change us? The word of God. Period. Now, I have to say, along with that, the Holy Spirit applying it. I think that goes without, but it's the Word. And listen, it's not the latest whatever. It's the Word of God, and that's why I'm so convicted that we need the Word of God in our lives. What did the author of Hebrews say? Listen, what did he say? The Word of God is what? Active, and it's sharper. It's number one, active. Number two, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between the soul and the spirit as the joint and the marrow, discerning the intentions and thoughts of the heart. Man, that word of God can come in and shoo. I have people ask me sometimes, how can I tell the difference if it's me and my soul desiring something or if it's the Lord? Easy answer. The word of God, it's sharper than, what did it say? Sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide between the soul and the spirit. You want to know if it's your soul doing it or the spirit of God? Get in the word of God. That's what changes us. And we need to know that, and we need to be people who are standing on the word. And not deviating from the word, and not catching the latest whatever. You know, hey, I remember all of my ministry life. Because I did ministry in this thing called Calvary Chapel. And all of my ministry life, I remember going to conferences and being told, simply teach the word simply. And being encouraged in that and strengthened in that. And listen, not to deviate from that. That's who we are. And when I hear people go, oh, I'm after this. I remember Chuck would get up at conferences and say, yes. Well, the latest thing has come and gone. What are we called to do? Teach the word. And you would watch things come and go, and you would watch different fads, and different people would put out different things. Hey, let's do this, let's do that. And here we are, these poor, you know, country bumpkin Calvary Chapel people. They don't even have education. How many of us Calvary Chapel pastors have put up with that one? You're not even educated. And I go, yeah, that's why we can simply teach the word simply. You know, when Gino, I love Gino. But you know when Gino said he struggles not to use the word superlapsarianism? Like most of us are going, I can't even say that. Listen, when he goes, man, I fight not to do that. Here's what I was sitting there thinking. Dude, I would fight to do that. You know what I mean? That just doesn't come out of my, that's not even in my head. And Gino's going, I fight not to say those words. And I go, wow, I would like to know a few of those. But listen, man, he says it's the word that changes us. And listen, he says, why? It's to build us up. How are we going to get built up? Not you and I, our bodies. How are they going to get built up, Pastor? It's your responsibility. It's your duty. My Bible tells me in Ephesians that God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. For what? What did God give them? That's who God gave the church. He gave them to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. My job is to gather people together in our gathering, build them up, and encourage them and get them equipped so they can go out and reach the naked guys on the bicycles. Now, that doesn't mean I don't do it. I should be doing the same thing. I'm supposed to be an example. But listen, I don't do it all. I gather our church together, and our fellowship knows this. We come together, listen, to be equipped to do the ministry that God's called us to do. Even way back, listen, way back in Acts, Eric touched on it in the book of Acts. When they came and they came to the apostles and they go, dude, man, these things going on, and had all that problem with the widows and all of that going on. And remember, they're all freaking out. And do you remember what the apostles said? Hey, our calling is to study the word and pray and teach the word. We got to find people with other callings to do other things. Listen, not everybody's going to be a pastor teacher. We should know that. And we all have different callings, but as a pastor teacher, if you're claiming that, your duty, your responsibility is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's exactly. Oh, but Paul goes further here. Listen, he says not only to build them up, he says also to give you an inheritance among all things, among all those who are sanctified. Man, listen, he says you got something coming. It's called an inheritance. Woo! I mean, I know a lot of people, they look forward to their inheritance, you know, speaking physically. You get a little older, and your parents get a little older, and you're going, man, my mom died in 1980. And it's just an ugly thing. But, you know, my mom always told me when we were growing up and stuff, she says, you know, all I'm going to leave you guys is bills. She kept her word. You know, it's like, thanks, Mom. You know, it's like, and that was my inheritance, you know. I'm a young guy in 20s, and my brother and I are going, how are we going to pay for this stuff? I don't know how we're going to pay for this stuff. And some of us, though, we have maybe somebody, and we're looking forward to an inheritance. Do you hear what Paul says? Man, we have a spiritual inheritance. And here's what I know about this inheritance. No one can steal it. No one can take it away. And he says, listen, man, you need to be built up. Why? Man, so that you, listen, you can have that inheritance, and that inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I really want to get to heaven. There's a lot of people I want to talk to, a lot of people I want to see. People, obviously, in the Bible that I've read about, obviously people that I've read about throughout church history, and people currently that we're missing and we desire. And I want to go see them. And I want, especially now, my curiosity's up. I really want to see Peter. Like, Peter's one of my Bible heroes, but I never called him a bad fisherman. So I'm going to call and tell him, when I see Peter, I'm going to tell him, hey, Brett, from Calvary Chapel Surprise, just tell him your fishing skills were like. And Peter's going to go, could you point him out to me? No problem, Pete, come on. Just have everybody stand up, and the one guy above everybody else, that's Brett. But listen, man, an inheritance among all the saints. Can you imagine being with all the saints? Oh, every time I read that, I think, I can hardly wait. I so want to get there. And then listen, then he goes on and he says, I love this, man. Here's where Paul gets into kind of some nitty-gritty for us. Verse 33, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You know, one of the things that can wreck a ministry? Covetousness. Coveting after things that people have. Now, it sort of freaks me out here when he says, I've coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. We don't think of that. I mean, I usually don't covet other people's clothing. Maybe Levi's skinny jeans, but other than that, Usually don't covet after. Maybe Robert's blazers sometimes. Sometimes I'll see him in a blazer. I go, that's a really nice blazer. But back then, apparel was part of who you were. And the wealthy people wore nice things. And here's what Paul says, man. I didn't go after your silver. I didn't go after your gold. I didn't go after your clothes. I didn't do ministry for money. Brothers who are serving as pastors, if you're doing it for the money, stop. Quit. Turn in your resignation. It's not a good thing. You're going to wipe yourself out, and you're going to wipe that church out. Paul says, man, I didn't do it. How many of us, some of us are remembering, some of us don't, how many of us are, we're doing it because obviously we love the people, but how many of us sacrificially went into the ministry? I remember when I planted the church in Bisbee, I eventually did plant a Calvary Chapel in Bisbee. Wasn't a very successful. I tell people, I could have done that workshop with Eric. I can tell people how not to plant churches because mine wasn't real successful. But I took over a church that was okay. But listen, when I planted the church, I remember they paid me $200 a month. Yes. And we're doing it, and I'm doing pottery, doing bivocational. And then I remember that someone called me, and they go, you know, we've been doing it for a while, and the giving's, like, really good. Hey, Pat, we can pay you $400 a month. And I went, yes. Then they told me they could pay me $800 a month. I called Gaynell, and I said, honey, we're going full-time. And she goes, for $800 a month? I go, yeah, that's plenty. She goes, have you bought groceries lately? And I go, no, I hate grocery stores. And she goes, how are we going to do this? And I go, it'll be fine. And listen, and we do that. But if you're doing it for the money, and even listen, even if it's at $800 a month and you're doing it, you need to stop. It's not about the money. And Paul says, listen, because if you get covetous, listen, it's going to carry over into other things. And then Paul says, listen, he says, yes, in verse 34, yes, he says, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities for those who are with me. Paul says, listen, I worked for myself and I haven't worked for those with me. I helped those guys out, and yeah, he got other money. And then he tells us, listen, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, here's what freaks me out, man. When Tony brought up reading commentaries, you know, I'm thinking most of us do read commentaries. I'm hoping we don't just, you know, rip off other people's sermons and steal things. I'm hoping we put some stuff together on our own. Even if we're ripping off out of those, we kind of string it all together. But listen, I read commentaries and they're going, Jesus never said that. Show me in the Gospels where Jesus... I love it when people do that. Jesus never said that in the Gospels. Well, you know what? John, at the end of his letter, said Jesus did so many things, even all the books in the world couldn't contain him. There's not enough ink to write about everything that Jesus did, much less everything he said. So here's what Paul's saying. Paul knew Jesus said that, and here's what I'm doing. When people question things like that, here's what I do. I always go with the Bible. When they go, I don't think that really happened, I'm thinking, I think it really happened. And he says, listen, I know from experience it is more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't it fun to try and give things away? Have you ever tried to outgive God? I love when people tell me, man, I tell our church all the time, people will come up and ask me, Pat, how much should I give? You never ask me that question. In Calvary Chapel Sierra Vista, here's what I tell them, everything. And they go, everything? I go, everything. Empty every bank account you have and give it to us. Pat, I go, then don't ask me. I go, that's what I think you should do. And I tell him, go ask Pastor Jack, our associate pastor. Go ask him. He'll tell you the same thing. How much should you give? Everything. Nothing's yours. You hang on to it, you greedy, grimy, I got my money. Got to let go of it. Listen, and he says, give, and he says, It's more blessed to give than to receive. And we'll wrap it up here. When he had said these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that he would see their face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Man, Paul has that closing time where he kneels down, he prays with them. They gather together. Men are weeping on his neck. Man, I can't imagine what that would feel like. They loved this man, but then it breaks my heart because they didn't follow what he said. And it's one thing to love somebody, and I love our fellowship, and they love me back. You know, it's fun. When some people tell me, our fellowship's not very loving, I think, maybe because it's you. I got a loving fellowship. I got people that love us. And hey, I did experience a non-loving fellowship, and you know whose fault it was? Mine. So listen, man. Men, as you get ready to go, as you leave the conference, get your club, okay? And get ready, and you protect your sheep against the savage wolves. And then you begin to teach your people and pour into them the word of God. And you're going to build them up, and they're going to be strong, and they're going to go out and they're going to do the work of the ministry that God has called them to. You don't have to beat them into it. You don't have to make them do it. They're going to do it. And then, you know what? Be an example to your body. There's so many pastors I talk to that do not give to their own church. I'm thinking, well, if you don't give to your church, how would you expect anybody else to give to your church? Well, no one knows. Jesus does. Just thought I'd let you know. So listen, that's who we're supposed to be. So when we leave here today, this afternoon, man, you go out and let's build up the kingdom of God. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your grace in our lives. And Lord, I pray for myself, along with my brothers and all the ministry leaders. God, I pray that we would be people who heed the word of God. We don't just hear the word of God, but we heed the word of God. And Lord, that we would apply your word into our lives, and we would go out, Lord, and we would do that work that you've called us to do, and we would build up the body of Christ so that they would be strong and fit spiritually to do the work of the ministry that you've given each one. And ultimately, God, that you would be glorified in it. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.